Welcome to Temple of Health Radio Show. This is Dr. Susan Kolb, and today I'm pleased to have back on the show Dr. Kedar Prasad, who is the author of Fight Heart Disease with Vitamins and Antioxidants. Dr. Prasad is with Premier Health Labs at Research Labs and is an expert in nutritional medicine and research, and is here today to tell us how not just one antioxidant or one particular vitamin is useful, but how we need to start looking at a combination of vitamins and antioxidants in order to protect ourselves from the number one killer in the United States, which is heart disease. Welcome, Dr. Prasad. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Susan.
So, would you like to tell the listening audience a little bit about how serious a problem coronary artery and heart disease is in the United States?
Yeah, sure. First, 600,000 people die of this disease in the United States every year. So that's a quite significant number. And it was estimated that in 2010, and that's all the statistics that we have available, that in 2010, in the U.S., about 12 million people had a heart disease. And it is estimated that in the next 30 years, 17 million people will have this disease. So this is an increase of about 47% in about 30 years. So this is a real growing problem, and so we have to address this, how to prevent it. And it is also expected that in 2010, the direct cost of taking care of heart disease was about $273 billion. And during next 30 years, it is estimated that that cost will increase to $800 billion. So this is a significant problem for us. And the question is, how to reduce the incidence of cancer, incidence of heart disease. We have improved treatment of heart disease once you have it, and that has helped a lot of people and extended the lifespan. But I would like to discuss today primarily the how to prevent the heart disease. And so
the problem with heart disease is that a lot of people have no idea that they have it until their first heart attack. And I believe the statistics still are that 40% die with their first heart attack because of arrhythmias. Is that still correct?
Arrhythmia is also a major problem. And again, that can be prevented and, before it develops. That is also one of the causes of arrhythmia is the stiffening of the arteries, and that creates a lot of problem. And of course, the heart muscles get damaged and then create all these kind of issues. And so I think it is a real major problem. And the interesting thing is that we have a tool to prevent or to reduce or to delay the risk of developing any kind of symptoms related to heart disease. First, I will tell you, Susan, what are the current recommendations are, and you are aware of that the current recommendation by the federal government, by other heart association, is to emphasize on the diet and lifestyle, which is very good one. For example, they recommend that you take plenty of food with low fat and high fiber diet, with plenty of fruits and vegetables, daily moderate exercise, relaxation, stopping smoking, and reduce consumption of sugar, caffeine, and alcoholic beverages. These are good recommendations, but the problem is, as you know, Susan, that human behaviors are very difficult to change. And that's why we are not having as expected reduction incidence of heart disease as you would have liked to see by modification in the diet and lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to reduce the risk of heart disease or incidence of heart disease, first, we have to know what are the risk factors are that will increase the incidence of heart disease. Age, as we grow older, all of us know that that is a risk factor, that we cannot change it. But by appropriate diet and supplement, we can change it. We can change the age, but we can change the consequence or results of aging, which is one of them is increase the risk of heart disease. Ethnicity is also a risk factor. For example, the black American or Hispanic have a higher incidence of heart disease than the white Americans. And again, this cannot be changed, but by appropriate diet and supplement, we can reduce the risk of the heart disease in this group, in spite of the differences in ethnicity. Another risk factor that we cannot change is a family history. Most of the time, people who, not only for heart disease, but for other disease as well, that if you have a family history, you cannot do anything, and that wait for appearance of the disease. But we have some experimental evidence to show that the genetic basis of disease, whether it is heart disease or Alzheimer or any disease, can be changed by appropriate supplemental nutrition. So you can see that even though those risk factors that we cannot change by nature, but by intervention, by appropriate diet and supplement, we can even change that risk factor and prevent the occurrence of heart disease. Other risk factor that we all know is obesity. Again, it is that difficult to change. We like to keep saying that don't get fat. Physical inactivity, that can be easily done, but most people don't do it. Tobacco smoking, it is easy to do it, but as you see the statistics, that the number of people smoking in this country have not changed significantly, even though it has decreased in a adult population, but in teenager, it is increasing. So the net result is that there is no significant change. About 50 million Americans still smoke. So that's a very high risk factor. And this does not include the secondhand smoking.
Mm-hmm.
Then the most important that we have it, so these are all related to human behavior, but one thing we can do irrespective of human behavior is there are two or three biochemical risk factors that we can change it. And that is the most important factor in initiating the heart disease, whether due to obesity, whether it is physical inactivity, or tobacco smoking, any risk factor that we have discussed.
There's another risk factor that I see in my practice that I want to get your thoughts on. My patients have silicone toxicity, and they have a T-cell immunity defect. And almost all of them with chemical toxicity from defective breast implants have periodontal disease. Mm-hmm. And it's well known that periodontal disease is associated with an increased risk of coronary artery disease. And a dentist that I interviewed showed that the same spirochete was found in the plaque that was in the arterial plaque, the dental plaque and the arterial plaque.
Mm-hmm.
And so in this patient population, I feel that they're could be an infectious component that then, perhaps leads to the arterial, or at least partially leads to the arterial damage. The infectious thing, but my whole patient population has an immune defect, but it's well known that periodontal disease can be transferred, between people who are kissing or other saliva transfers. And what's interesting is that Dr. Norm Shealy came up with a treatment for this, and it was very simple. It was Pepto-Bismol twice a day for 2 to 3 weeks, intermittently. You can't do it just once, but that will kill the spirochete. So if anybody, it would be very interesting to see if people had had periodontal disease and heart disease, or were going toward heart disease on their CT scans of their heart, if Pepto-Bismol would change this, because Bismol evidently is effective against the spirochete.
I didn't know that. But that's yeah. very true. Infection, which induces chronic inflammations, and therefore they have been considered one of the major risk factors. And gum disease, linkage with the, I think this is a very good point that you brought up. And I was in one of the dental meetings that they emphasized on this issue, what you are saying, that the if we can cure, at least in these subpopulations, which has a gum disease, by just taking care of the infection, then...
Yeah, and the immune system. You know, we had a whole big, long discussion previously that the listeners can go back on the archives, because you and I were discussing supplementation that would help the immune system in cancer.
Right.
So the same thing would apply, because cancer and the spirochete are dependent on the T-cell immunity.
Right. So I think that's a double advantage. Overall health, it will also improve, you know.
Right.
And most of the disease, because some of those, this infection, spirochete or other kind of infection.
Nanobacter is the other one, yeah.
Yeah. They release a lot of cytotoxins, you know, inflammation.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, as you know, it is extremely toxic. So if we take care of the oxidative stress and chronic inflammation and infection, and another is a homocysteine level, which has also direct linkage with the heart disease. And homocysteine level is very interesting. That paper came out that most of the time people think that, well, I don't know how homocysteine causes damage, but elevated homocysteine level is a risk factor. But then people found out that the way the homocysteine damages is the blood vessels. And the way it damages is by free radical, by generating excessive free radicals. And so,
well, let me just insert this too, Dr. Prasad. My patient population that is not doing well with leaking breast implants, the majority of them have an MTHFR defect, which means they don't methylate B12 or folate very well, and they don't methylate chemicals, so they can't get it through the detox pathway. And many, many of them have elevated homocysteine levels. So they have a dual problem with heart disease and stroke. That would be high homocysteine levels, as well as the predilection to have that spirochete that could damage vessels. So, you know, that's a real problem. They've got both of those.
Yeah. So I think, and they have to be, you know, if you can reduce these defects simultaneously at the same time, that will be much more effective than doing one at a time. You see what I mean?
And so isn't the genetic predisposition for heart disease at least partially, possibly, this MTHFR problem? Because if you can't methylate B12 and folate, you're going to have high homocysteine levels.
Right. But that can be corrected by taking a methylated form of available now, and in our formulation.
But doctors aren't diagnosing that.
I know.
I mean, they're not using. They're just giving regular B12 and folate to people with high homocysteine. That's not going to work.
No, and as you know, the clinical results were very inconsistent. Sometimes they said yes, sometimes they said no. But but important thing is, I think it was very important that you pointed out the defect in methylations. And therefore, in our formulation that we have developed recently, is even though it is a little more costlier than the regular vitamin B12.
But what's the name of that formulation?
It is available it's called BioArmor Heart Disease, or heart formula.
Okay.
And
all right.
I will give you later on this.
Thank you.
The website that people can go and look at there.
Okay.
But this is very important, and if they are not there, they should replace as an additional supplement, because sometimes some of these formulations were developed a long time ago. But some of my recent formulations, especially next month, my another book is coming on Alzheimer's.
Good. We'll have to do that one, too. That's another scary, yeah. scary disease that Americans
scary.
Haven't figured out yet.
and growing, and it is such an important issue that we have dealt in that book.
It is, yeah.
And has given the most up-to-date formulations, including the, you know, methylated B rather than B vitamin. So
really, measurement of homocysteine levels should be done, what you say, routinely after the age of 40?
Yes. Because it is an independent risk factor. It is not just the, nowadays you may have seen it and people knew for a long time that mm-hmm. now they are saying that, well, cholesterol is not important. Well, I think cholesterol is important, but it is not the important. It is one of the mm-hmm. risk factors. And as I will discuss in case of Alzheimer's, that the high level of cholesterol increases the risk of Alzheimer's because it mm-hmm. can block the blood vessels that feeds blood to the brain. And so
right.
low...
And
low.
Alzheimer's is probably a bunch of different diseases, too. I mean, there's prion disease, there's the blockage of the small vessels in the brain. It's
right.
very difficult because you can't really do a brain biopsy when someone's alive
no.
to determine the cause of the Alzheimer's. Alzheimer's is not one disease.
I know. But that's why some of the animal models, that genetic manipulation, they have done it. And has provided a very, very important information that we will discuss
yeah.
at the time. But anyway, back to the heart one. So the question is, how do you reduce all these things? Of course,
right.
you have spirochete, then it is some of the standard drugs that are available, and you mentioned mm-hmm. one of them. But important is that how one can reduce the oxidative stress and chronic inflammation and homocysteine level at the same time. This is very important because mm-hmm. sometimes in clinical trial, they will give a clinical trial just trying to reduce homocysteine level. And so that would not work. And sometimes, so my view is that they have to be decreased at the same time. So how do you mm-hmm. do it? Well, first you have to see that our body has antioxidant system. Now, antioxidant system has two components, and this is often ignored by when you run a clinical study. The one component is the antioxidant enzyme, and like catalase, superoxide dismutase, glutathione mm-hmm. peroxidase. These are antioxidant enzymes. Then other component of the antioxidant defense system is the vitamin, dietary antioxidant, that we take from the diet, endogenous antioxidant that our body makes it. They are all there in our body. So the question arises, how we can elevate both component of our antioxidant defense system, namely antioxidant enzymes, and as well as the dietary and bodies made antioxidant at the same time. How we do it? This is very important. And also homocysteine level.
mm-hmm.
So what we found, what happens, that in order to do that, normally in our body, and you know, Susan, that there is another gene called NRF2. And
mm-hmm.
this gene controls the formation of antioxidant enzymes. So the question is how you activate this particular genes. Normally, if you do exercise, say, for example, you generate a lot of free radicals.
Mm-hmm.
And then free radicals activate this particular called NRF2 or a nuclear transcriptional factor, a gene. That gets mm-hmm. activated. And when they get activated, they migrate from the cytoplasm to the nucleus, and where they bind with another genes, and then they turn on the antioxidant and enzymes gene. So by activating this gene, you can increase the synthesis or amount of antioxidant genes. So most of the people right now, they are saying, oh, that's very good. We can just activate the NRF2 and we took care of all the antioxidant system. But that's not true, because when you have increase in a free radicals or oxidative stress, you can activate the antioxidant, these genes. But the high level of oxidative stress can decrease the vitamins or antioxidants that are in our body, namely dietary and endogenous. So we have to increase both simultaneously. There is another problem that when you become old or in case of heart disease, they don't respond, this nerve to do not respond to free radicals anymore. They become unresponsive. And now we have found out that certain antioxidant can activate this particular gene, namely NRF2, without any free radicals. So if you combine the antioxidant multiple, and I have identified some of those things in the book, then they can activate this particular gene, NRF2, to enhance the formation of antioxidant enzyme, and at the same time, they will increase the level of dietary and endogenous antioxidants. Mm-hmm. And we also have a B vitamin in methylated form, should be, that will that will also decrease the homocysteine level. So by a mixture of these antioxidants, and some of them have like curcumin or resveratrol as well. And so if you have a properly formulated antioxidant and B vitamin, that can take care of both oxidative stress, inflammation, as well as homocysteine level. This new concept that increasing the antioxidant enzyme at the same time that you increase the level of dietary and endogenous vitamin is very, very important. And if you use one antioxidant like most of the study use, or B vitamin, is not going to do. It's not going to activate this transcriptional factor as well as increase the level of the dietary and endogenous antioxidant.
And one thing that I think is very important to for people to understand is that certain antioxidants that if taken alone without any other antioxidants can actually become pro-oxidants.
That's right. That's another very, very good point you mentioned. This, I don't know why this is so well known, Susan, that I don't know why clinicians, when they start this clinical trial, they don't think that way, that I'm using a high, like, you know, people who are have a high risk, like you may have one of the classical example is HOPE trial, where they used the high dose of vitamin E and then they didn't find anything. And so, or you find some risk factor, some increase in the risk.
And then the other thing is that certain groups, like people who've smoked or are smoking, if they take beta-carotene, vitamin A, and maybe even vitamin E, just singly in high doses, they might not only have an increased risk of heart attack, but also an increased risk of lung cancer.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that is possible.
Oh, yeah. No, I think that's extremely very possible, and that's why.
So you've got to be careful what you take a high dose of. You've got to not just take one thing. One thing isn't going to do it because, as you said, you've got the enzyme system. You've got a whole bunch of different pathways here that you have to consider.
Not only that, and the thing is that antioxidant enzymes destroy free radicals by converting them to a non-toxic molecules, non-toxic agents. Whereas the classical antioxidant like vitamin A, C, E, and so on, they destroy it by directly scavenging the free radical. Directly, they just picked it up, just donate the electron, and then gone. Mm-hmm. And so there is a difference how the two component of the antioxidant system destroys free radical but they do by different mechanism. And that's why it is extremely important that the both component, namely antioxidant enzyme and the other one, the dietary and endogenous antioxidant, must be elevated at the same time because oxidative stress damages both systems.
And I want to insert here for our listeners something very important. The majority of mainstream medical doctors know nothing about these pathways that Dr. Prasad is talking about. They know nothing about it. And they're used to treating a disease with a single agent or at most a couple of agents. Now, you can't treat heart disease with a single agent. number one, it's not a single cause. Number two, there's very complicated pathways here. And I want to put a plug in for doctors that are educated in integrative holistic medicine. There's a website you can go to, www.holisticmedicine.org, that will show doctors in your area that are boarded in integrative holistic medicine, because this is functional medicine. And then there's also functional medicine doctors that get certified in functional medicine. These are the doctors that you need to be going to, because they actually understand what we're talking about here, and regular doctors don't. I think that's important for patients to understand.
Yeah, I think this is extremely important. Most of the doctors don't even know. You know, I give a lecture sometimes, and when you bring up these kind of issues, for example, you know, most of the vitamin people that take it, you know, they always have a iron, copper, manganese, and it is very well known that they interact with the molecule like vitamin C and generate free radicals, excessive amount.
Exactly. And so taking a multivite just off the counter could be very, very problematic, especially if you have a genetic defect where you can't methylate and that vitamin has folic acid in it. Folic acid isn't your friend when you can't methylate.
Yeah,
and then if you have, you know, low zinc levels and are taking a supplement with copper in it, you're messing up your zinc-copper ratio.
Exactly. Even though those trace minerals are very important, but that's why they are called trace minerals, because their requirement is so little that any diet you take that will have plenty of iron, copper, and manganese. And so we avoided in our preparation, we avoid that. We also avoid the heavy metal, like sometimes molybdenum, zirconium, and heavy metals are known to be neurotoxic over a long period of time.
Right, yeah.
So if you take a small amount, but if you take a multiple vitamin, you are taking the rest of your life. So even a small amount every day can accumulate in your body, because body has no mechanism of excretion of these heavy metals or trace minerals, so they accumulate in your body.
Yeah, like for example, if you're menstruating and have a fairly good menstrual amount of blood, it's okay to take a multivitamin with a little bit of iron in it.
No.
But once you stop menstruating, you shouldn't. And if you're a man and you don't menstruate, we would hope, you should not be taking a multivitamin with even a trace amount of iron in it, because iron is known to increase the risk of heart disease.
Exactly. And
so it's complicated.
Some of these things are so simple. But again, sometimes industry wants to, like A to Z.
They want to make one pill for everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Another thing that distinguishes us is that we always recommend take the same total dose, but divide half in the morning and half in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
And the rationale for that is that the antioxidant biological turnover in the blood of all these different vitamin B12 or B vitamin or antioxidant, their biological half-life in the blood differs. Some are a few hours, some are a few days. And therefore, to maintain a relatively steady level of vitamin, say, vitamin level,
right,
you say you take it twice a day, half in the morning and half in the evening. And that's the reason why some of the product that people have used, our product, is so effective. And these are some small differences. But for effectiveness, this makes a big difference in terms of biological benefit.
Well, one product that Premier makes that we use a lot of is the liquid B vitamin.
Mm-hmm.
And I think having it in liquid is very good. And I think that patients are testing much better for the liquid vitamin than they are the pill. The B vitamin pill.
Yeah, I think some of those can be do like vitamin B12, water soluble vitamin can be used as a liquid one, especially a B vitamin that you don't have to worry about oxidation too much.
Mm-hmm.
So no, I mean that in any way. that would be good.
So you've come up with a combination of, well, it's basically antioxidants. Some are vitamins, some are other compounds, which you feel would be a lot better to have this combination than to just do single agents.
Oh, yeah, definitely, because not only some standard vitamin that we know, but also we found out at least two vitamins, or two, we call it flavonoid, or you can call it a polyphenolic compound,
mm-hmm.
that I have been impressed was the curcumin and resveratrol. So in addition to adding a dietary, a standard dietary antioxidants, as well as the body-made antioxidant, we have also added these two additional, which is in a way a dietary, but in a larger dose, higher dose, is curcumin and the resveratrol, and mm-hmm. looks like the formulation has been very effective. People who are taking some of those components.
And what is the name of the formulation?
The for heart formulation is the. The BioArmor heart formula, that's what they call it.
Okay.
And the website is www.multiimmunity.com. MultiImmunity.com.
Now, if the patient that's listening also has periodontal disease or, you know, a relative immune problem, what would you recommend for them in way of an immune supplement?
Well, I mean, this will also take care of immune supplement, but first one has to have it take care of by dentist, all the infectious agents.
Right.
Given that
they're under treatment by the dentist,
right.
Is there another
no.
product that you would recommend?
I think in some cases, omega-3 fatty acids is the only mm-hmm. one, 500 milligram per day. That's the only additional thing I would recommend.
Okay.
And they have been linked to the immunity. It has a multifunctional effect. So I mm-hmm. think that that's one agent that I would like to add is the omega-3 fatty acids, 500 milligram per day.
Mm-hmm. Now, in your book, you also note that this formulation decreases cholesterol.
Yes. What happened? Yeah, that's amazing. This was totally unexpected result. This was a human trial that Dr. Jeff Boone did it. And Dr. Jeff Boone is a cardiologist for Bronco, NFL player.
Mm-hmm.
And he also treats the retired player of NFL. So he's very prominently, and in the Denver area, he's a very prominent cardiologist and has written a foreword for this book.
Mm-hmm.
Heart disease, fight heart disease with vitamin and antioxidant, and so he has tried on a firefighter. Firefighter also have mm-hmm. a very high incidence of heart disease, and I was not.
You think
aware
that's
of,
due to smoke exposure causing free
and
radicals?
Physical stress in
The plastics, plastics in a
fire
are known
yeah.
to be very toxic.
Exactly.
And you breathe them in, and you get them on your skin, too,
yeah.
although they're pretty well suited up. They probably breathe them in. That's probably why they have an increased risk of heart disease.
Yeah. And so he tried the younger one who were not any medications. There
mm-hmm.
was no, in the young adult. And he tried just this one. They were not on any medications. And gave just this vitamin formulations and monitored the various lipid profile.
Mm-hmm.
And also, he measured the intimal medial thickness, IMT,
mm-hmm.
carotid artery.
Right.
They have a ultrasound way of measuring the thickness of the carotid artery. So he measured this criteria. And he measured before the supplement, and then 6 months, and then a year later. And so the study
mm-hmm.
period was for 1 year, and the total number of subjects that he used was 70, which is a significant number.
mm-hmm.
And he found that the cholesterol level was decreased. Blood profile was, the lipid profile was markedly improved. Cholesterol was down, and total cholesterol, HDL was up, and LDL was down. I mean, also he said it is a poor man's Lipitor. because it is, it is not costly. So he started, Dr. Boone started calling the product as a poor man's Lipitor or a statin.
Yeah.
But the most important that Lipitor or any other statin drug do not produce is that the this vitamin reduced the thickening. It expanded it reduced the arteries. Thickness was markedly reduced because if the arteries are thick, then it will become narrower and narrower. Eventually, it will cause a stroke. But in this, after 6 months and then a year, progressively, the thickening of the chronic artery was reduced. That biological effect you cannot produce by any Lipitor or any other drug. Except, I was surprised. This I would not have predicted these results. But anyway, found that, and he's very excited. And we are in the process of writing that for publication because it is a observational study, but the number of patients is high enough that this could be very useful for the people to know it. And he gives his patients and all the patients routinely this kind of product.
You know, when we do surgery and plastic surgery, sometimes we do these big paniculectomies on patients who have coronary artery, well, they don't really have coronary artery disease. They have arterial disease all over their body because they're overweight, and that obviously gross obesity is a risk for that. And when we cut through the panniculus, the arteries in that panniculus are calcified and are really thick. So, even though I'm not in the neck around the carotid artery like the vascular surgeons are, we see the effects of this in, right there in front of you. And you look at that and you wonder what their carotids and their coronaries look like. You know, you can probably guess that they're not too healthy.
Yeah. The another very interesting in recent times that I have reviewed that that might further add to the increased risk of heart disease. In addition to the tobacco smoking, electronic cigarette smoking?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, and it is increasing, and they are claiming that it is, safer than tobacco smoke. But when I analyzed the published report and found out that this could be, at least from the lung point of view, it could be more dangerous than the tobacco, because when it burns, the chips that they have is made of heavy metals, and so what happens when you smoke and it gives a heat, extreme heat, and that heat makes that metals into a very very finer particles, and so when you are vapor, you are using it. That will go to your lung. These finer particles of very very
absorbed,
absorb in the lung, and they are nowhere to go. Accumulate chronically, and that will induce inflammation, lung disease, cancer. Everything because it will cause inflammation.
That brings up another point, too, Dr. Prasad, in that when we have a high heavy metal load just from living in the United States, being around leaded gasoline when we were young, we really do need to do detox of heavy metals in order to help prevent cancer and heart disease.
Sure. And many people, I think, most of the people, especially in older people, they have all kind of, older generation anyway. The heavy metals.
Exposure, arsenic.
Yeah.
I drank well water. My arsenic levels were very high. My lead levels were fairly high because I was running around in the times of leaded gasoline. You were breathing it in.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then it's so interesting because some of my employees grew up in India, mm-hmm. no heavy metals. It's interesting. You mm-hmm. would think a third world country like India was years ago would have heavy metals. They don't. You know, it's living here in the United States that gives you the problem.
Yeah. And like I said, you were mentioning about China, in India, the heart disease also has increased.
Well, that's because they've ended up with all these heavy metals where they didn't used to have.
Yeah, also all the food that, you know, McDonald's is there now.
Right,
KFC is there.
They've become a little America. The problem with the disease, you know. It's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, China, because they didn't have, they had a high level of soy and they didn't have much dairy, had very little breast cancer.
Right.
Yeah.
And no, in India also the incidence of breast cancer is very very low, but but
not a lot of milk.
Yeah, and in our area here, for some reason, and they have done epidemiology study in the North Bay, you know, in California, is extremely high breast cancer.
I think it's because of the plastic water bottles. I really do.
I think
everybody, because Marin County, which is where that study was done, mm-hmm. everybody has a very high, socioeconomic, and they drink out of plastic water bottles.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas poor people drink tap water.
Yeah.
You know, out of glasses.
No kidding. No, I think that's
it. It's true.
I think you made a very good point.
Poor people don't buy bottled water, you know, or at least not to the extent that rich people do.
I think so, because everybody you see in their hand, they have the bottle.
That's right. They're out running with their water bottles, and it's heating up because California's warm.
Yeah.
And heating up that plastic's not a good idea.
I know. And so this book, Heart Disease, if somebody wants to buy it, you know, the best thing would be cheaper would be to buy from the Amazon.com.
Mm-hmm.
Then they sometimes when I use my, want to order certain kind of product, that I go to Amazon.com. That looks like one of the way to get it.
Right.
Or book a store, you know. But I think that this is a real problem, Susan, and I think if we just... clinician does one study where the way we have proposed and we are discussing with multiple vitamin and B vitamin,
mm-hmm.
and just do one study, then this issue will be resolved for good. But problem is that they want to do one at a time. Well, in mm-hmm. human disease is much more complex. In animal, mm-hmm. you can do it, because if you look the animal model of heart disease, one agent do very good job. They prevent whatever's supposed.
But they make their own. They make their own vitamin C, except for guinea pigs. So
yeah, but
that's different.
Their metabolism is different. Their distribution, everything is different. So what animal study does you give you that it has a potential to do certain things? So all vitamin has potential to do certain things. Then you combine that together when you go to mm-hmm. human disease. But the problem is also funding. If you apply right now, clinicians or researchers just first worry about the research funding, and if you put a multiple antioxidant, they will turn it down.
Right.
And it has to be supported by the private organizations, you know, and do it like Dr. Jeff Boone did it. Mm-hmm. A small study. It is not a double-blind placebo-controlled trial. That this is before, mm-hmm. here it is, and after, here is the result. That is a valid question. That's a valid question and valid answer. And
well, I think it's brilliant that they did it in firefighters.
Yeah.
Because that patient population is different with a higher risk, although, you know, I mean, particular groups of people with high levels of particular chemical exposure would have similar risk.
Yeah.
But firefighters are all exposed to smoke.
Yeah.
Universally. I mean, you know, I don't think there's a firefighter except maybe the guy that stays back that drives the truck
mm-hmm.
that doesn't get it. Well, even then, though, because there's a lot of smoke coming off the house.
Sure.
or the building, you know. And this plastic, everything has plastics.
Yeah, exactly.
The burning plastics are going to do this.
Yeah, but also carcinogenic substances, they are
yeah,
really,
yeah.
But,
well,
but
I wanted to give you a chance to mention the website again, and it's a BioArmor heart formulation.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to get that out again. Would you give them the website information again?
Yeah. www.multiimmunity.com.
Okay, so definitely anybody who's had a major cardiac event or been told by their doctor that they are at high risk for cardiac disease ought to go take a look at this and really consider getting on BioArmor heart formulation.
Yeah, and the book, as I mentioned, can be bought with the Amazon.com. And,
right.
And Dr. Boone also treats the retired NFL player who has, as you know, when they grow older, they have all mm-hmm. kind of disease. And he's maintaining some kind of results, but has not mm-hmm. told me as yet. But he has simply told me that they are doing extremely well.
Hmm. Yeah. Well,
even the player who are active player, you know, college, you know, college players.
Well, they probably have high stress levels. I mean,
yeah.
You know, it's physical stress, you know, the active, and then also emotional stress.
Yeah, yeah, and especially when you retire, suddenly your physical activity drops down.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so they have it. And
I think they're also exposed to some chemicals on the playing field.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to be breathing in those chemicals because a lot of chemicals are used to treat the AstroTurf or whatever it is.
Not only that, but also they use a pure oxygen breathe to get a instant energy. They will
mm-hmm.
breathe for a few minutes or a few seconds, whatever the time period they're allowed to have pure oxygen. And
yeah.
Pure oxygen will generate, give you some energy, transient, but it also generates a lot of free radicals.
Right.
So.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, I look forward to your letting us know when you've got the Alzheimer's book out.
Yeah, I will give you once the out. I think it is next month sometimes.
Great. Well, we'll get you back on for that.
Good.
Would you like to mention the other books that you have other than the Fight Heart Disease one?
Yeah, this is series, kind of series book. I have also that Fight Diabetes,
uh-huh.
Vitamin and Antioxidants, and they are also available in the Amazon.com. And the third book is Fight Cancer with Vitamin
mm-hmm.
and Antioxidant. And as
okay.
you see, they are also available at Amazon.com. And then I have written some other book, which are the reference book on these kind of issues. And
uh-huh.
One book that I have written recently was the Neurodegenerations, Nutrient, and that was published by CRC Press. And just a few months ago, it was it is out, and they discuss Alzheimer's, Parkinson's disease, Huntington chorea, PTSD, you know, all these kind of neurological disease issue. What are the risks, why it happens,
mm-hmm.
and what we can do to reduce the incidence, and what we can do to improve the management of these diseases.
Well, my patient population with silicone toxicity, there's a whole list of neurotoxins that are chemicals
mm-hmm.
as well as carcinogens. You know, there's a whole
yeah,
bunch of methylethyl
yeah.
ketone, benzene, toluene, but a whole bunch of these chemicals are neurotoxins,
yes.
and they
yes.
have an atypical neurotoxic disease
yeah.
that is not known in, you know, regular medicine,
uh-huh.
but certainly... you know, there's sensory and motor component as well as dizziness and, you know, so central vestibular symptoms. 82% of people with leaking silicone implants get dizzy, for example.
Yeah.
And that usually goes away after they get their implants out and get detoxed. So, you know, the neurotoxin is really of interest to me, too. So.
Yeah, this is interesting you mentioned dizziness. We ran a trial
mm-hmm.
with the Marine Corps in training in San Diego, in
mm-hmm.
collaboration with the National health research institute there, and they came from Iraq and Afghanistan and had the symptom that you are describing. They were exposed to
yeah,
and dizziness and balance mm-hmm. problem. And we had about 34 patients, and again, it was a before and after, and they were getting a standard treatment. So one group got a standard treatment that they have been given, a steroid, some anti-inflammatory drugs,
mm-hmm.
and some physical rehabilitation type of therapy. And mm-hmm. then the second group got the vitamin supplement, which is a different kind of preparation at that time. Again, this was mm-hmm. developed 10 years ago. And but even that multiple vitamin preparation, and mm-hmm. the time period was 12 weeks.
Yeah.
And in 12 weeks period, which was a short period really, but in 12 week period, the group who were getting both standard plus the vitamin supplement did much better on every criteria that they were measuring it, dizziness, balancing mm-hmm. problem, and some other tests they had.
That's probably because these antioxidants and supplements promote detoxification.
Yeah. Because see, the another thing that this gene that people call transcriptional factor is a NRF2. They mm-hmm. when they get activated, they not only increases the formation or synthesis of antioxidant enzyme, but mm-hmm. they also at the same time increases the formation or synthesis of detoxifying enzymes.
Mm-hmm.
So these detoxifying enzyme is very important to remove all this material that you are talking about. So it has a double function. That's why it is very important.
Yeah, it is.
That we activate this gene, which can not only help in reducing oxidative stress, but it can mm-hmm. also help in detoxifying your system.
And most neurotoxins and carcinogens are hydrophobic chemicals, not hydrophilic, mm-hmm. so they're difficult to detox with the standard detox things. They do detox with sweating, because uh-huh. you know, these chemicals come out in your sweat, mm-hmm. and that's probably why exercise is so healing.
So that's why in our recommendation, we always say that together with the vitamin supplement that we are recommending, you also take a good diet, take
mm-hmm.
a moderate
and exercise,
and you know, meditation, do relaxation, do whatever you can,
mm-hmm.
and stop smoking. That's you know. But I'm not concerned about the electronic cigarettes, but, you know, I think FDA...
Well, thank you for pointing that out. I think that is important. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Prasad. I appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you, Susan, for giving me this opportunity.
So we have been interviewing Dr. Prasad on Fight Heart Disease with Vitamins and Antioxidants. You can find his other books online as well. He has a whole series that covers just about the most common diseases that we have here in the United States. Next week, we will be interviewing Artie Clark, Sky People, Untold Stories of Alien Encounters in Mesoamerica. And then the next week, Dr. Christopher Vasey, Natural Remedies for Inflammation. Obviously, inflammation is important to control. Thank you very much for joining us, Dr. Prasad. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Susan.
This is Dr. Susan Kolb with Temple of Health Radio Show. Please join us next week. The Noetic Science for this week will be Paul Esch. I believe that's the third Thursday in January. He will be talking about energy and energy devices. Thank you very much.